Welcome back to the June News Roundup on WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer.
And I'm Rebecca Green. Very few journalists understand Indiana education as well as the Journal-Gazette's Karen Francisco, who's been covering the issue for years. I took some time to talk with Karen about events at the state level and some big changes coming to local districts as well. Karen, thank you for coming by WBOI Presents.
Thank you for asking me to join you.
One of the things we wanted to kind of touch base on was that, you know, the school year is ended, and that doesn't necessarily end the discussion about education in the state of Indiana, the process of managing Indiana schools year-round. And there's been a lot of things over the last few years with vouchers and charter schools that you've been watching, and particularly the kind of some of the changes at the state level in the Board of Education with the superintendent, state superintendent, stepping down. So let's start at the state level and then just kind of filter our way down. What are some things as we look back at the last academic year and the legislative session that happened at the state level that will affect local schools and local school governance?
Well, of course, the legislative session began and ended with discussion about teacher pay. A lot of attention paid leading up to the session about the status. Some studies came out showing Indiana teachers were last in the nation for percentage increase in salaries since, I think, 2005, something like that. Suddenly, the claims legislators have been making for many years that, you know, we're spending more than half the state budget on education. And, you know, of course, we're spending a lot of money on schools. These studies comparing Indiana with other states sort of put all that in context, and people began to say, well, wait a minute, really, where are we on paying our teachers? So then legislators began defending their response to this by saying the money is actually flowing to the schools, but a lot of it's going to administration. That pretty much has been disproven. I think quickly legislators realized they were going to have to do something to increase pay. And they did come up with some ideas. Paying off a pension obligation is going to free up some money. And yes, some school districts probably will be able to pay their teachers a little bit more because of that. But again, it's a very individual. I mean, we have many, many different characteristics of our school districts across the state. And so not all of them are going to be in the position to use that money, or not all of them would benefit as much from that mechanism to be able to give teachers more money. Legislators, again, put more money in kind of a teacher performance grant. It's going to be contingent on different criteria. So that's, we're not talking about across the board raises for Indiana teachers. You're just not going to see that. But to their credit, they did seem to recognize that's a problem. And yeah, I think it's something now that is on the radar screen for most Hoosiers, that they understand Indiana doesn't compare as well with other states on teacher pay. And that is driving some of the issues with teacher shortages. I mean, school districts have been saying for quite some time now they're having trouble hiring teachers in some very high need areas, math and science and special education. But we're starting to see some of those shortages in areas that you haven't seen before, as young people are deciding it's not worth taking out tens of thousands of dollars in education debt to get a degree that is not going to pay long term.
Right, it's going to take you forever to pay off.
Exactly. So the teacher pay thing really was sort of the overriding event at the General Assembly. And it of course, was against this backdrop of sort of political intrigue involving the state superintendent, whose position she announced early last year that she wasn't going to be seeking re-election because they had kind of pushed off that we're moving to this new arrangement where the state superintendent won't be an elected position. It will be appointed by the governor, but that was not supposed to go into effect until after what would have been Superintendent Jennifer McCormick's second term. But when she announced she wasn't going to seek re-election, that sort of gave them the go-ahead to move up the start date for that. So that will now end with the next election of the next governor. We won't be electing a state superintendent at that time. And the governor essentially will control everything about K through 12 education in Indiana, because he will have the majority of appointments to the State Board of Education, which sort of has become the de facto State Department of Education anyway over the last several years. But now even more so with the governor appointing the state superintendent, whoever is elected governor in 2020, that's going to be a key position. Education really needs to be absolutely the top issue as voters look at that position. So, and some interesting developments just yesterday. We learned that Jennifer McCormick, who's a Republican, but has generally been at odds with the Republican administration.
Pence and Holcomb.
Yes, over the last couple of years, actually, since she took office, that she's going to be traveling around the state with Senator Eddie Melton, who is a likely candidate for governor. And he's having some listening sessions about education, and she's agreed to join him. Certainly didn't please the Indiana Republican Party. They put out a news release yesterday questioning whether or not she's still a Republican. It's all going to be very interesting. It also fueled some speculation that she's interested in being lieutenant governor. I've heard her speak to people urging her to run for governor, and she's, always insisted, I'm an educator, I'm not interested in that. But she also emphasizes it's really about the kids, and that's why she's doing this. But it's going to be fun to watch to watch how this plays out politically. But policy-wise, she's been a very strong advocate for public education and for teachers, and it's interesting that that is not fallen in good favor with some in state government.
That's might be a tell of some type.
I think so.
One of the things that kind of was discussed and came out of this last legislative session was this idea of a teacher externship, which basically, instead of getting their classroom and their curriculum ready for the next school year, we're asking teachers to now go get a summer job, basically? Is that...
It's going to be tied to licensing and the licensing renewal process, which is why we saw a lot of teachers rushing to renew their licenses before this went into effect July 1st. Effective July 1st, they're now going to be required to do a work experience in their community. And the idea, apparently, is to put them in touch with local employers so they will be able to understand what local employers are looking for in the future workforce. And of course, it didn't take long to have some people point out that we have kindergarten teachers and first grade teachers who are educating students who won't be in the workforce for many, many years. And if there's one thing we've all recognized over the last few years, is that technology is changing everything so rapidly that the jobs of today are not going to be there tomorrow. So are we really doing students a favor? A lot of people are asking, including our editorial page, are we really doing students a favor by training them? And we seem to be in a kind of a job training mode versus an education mode in this current administration. We're training them for jobs of today and not the jobs of tomorrow that they're actually going to be looking for when they get out of school.
Let's kind of shift gears a little bit now and talk about some of the more local things. And I think Dr. Robinson, this Fort Wayne Community Schools superintendent, her retirement has not been a particularly well-kept secret. I think everyone knew that it was coming within the next few years, but it kind of became more open news during the month of June.
Yeah, she had announced that this upcoming academic year would be her last. I think it'll be her 46th year with the district. She started as a teacher in Fort Wayne Community Schools. That's absolutely unheard of, and even her tenure as superintendent is pretty extraordinary. It's a high-pressure job, and the larger the school district, even more so. But she had made it clear that she was ready to retire. And so the school board, looking at the calendar, is just deciding it's time. It needs to get in order a search process. And they right now have reached out to the Indiana School Board Association and some other groups and some search firms that do this kind of professional search for school district leaders. And now they're just kind of deciding what tack they will take. When Dr. Robinson became superintendent, she had been the assistant deputy superintendent at Fort Wayne Community Schools at the time she became superintendent. It was pretty clear she was preparing for that job for a long time, well prepared for that job. And so they didn't launch a search at that time that they're looking at now. I mean, there's no obvious internal candidate in the district to take on the position. There may be some internal candidates emerge, but there's not an obvious one as there was the last time around. So they're kind of laying the groundwork, and it looks good. They're going to include a lot of, have a lot of community input into what people want to see in a superintendent. They're setting up a series of meetings that they're going to have late next fall at each of the high schools and invite people to come in and say what they would like to see in a superintendent. Then it'll be into next spring when they probably start looking at candidates, looking at a national search exactly a year from now. So July 1st, we should have a new superintendent on board. And it's a big hire. This is the largest school district in the state. We've passed Indianapolis Public Schools as the largest in the state. So it's a very important hire, and they appear to be taking it very seriously.
What has her legacy been when you kind of look across that, the number of years that she's been there? Like you talked a little bit about, the district's on very solid footing. You don't hear it, like you said, brought up as like there's not a lot of stones thrown her way.
Yeah, well, I think the stability in the district probably is something that will be an enduring legacy for Dr. Robinson. The challenges that Indiana schools in particular have faced in the face of so-called school reform and the effort to push school privatization and school choice, she has managed to maintain high quality schools, maintain choice within the district. Going back to, you know, the time this district was desegregated, there has been intra-district choice in Fort Wayne Community Schools. They've managed to maintain the magnet school programs and have some specialized programs at the high schools, and they continue to do that. The district's interest in the Electric Works project and establishing a high school, a school presence there, is an example of how she's like, okay, this is what the state wants to do in terms of preparing students for careers, and there's an opportunity here with a STEM program or maybe an urban agriculture program. So she's kind of taking on some of these challenges they've set up and seeing them as opportunities for the district. And I think long term, that's what people will remember about what Dr. Robinson did for the district.
So she's going to leave very big shoes to fill for the next superintendent. Karen, thank you so much for coming by WBUI Presents and helping us make sense of Indiana education.
Thank you. There's a lot to think about.